Okay, thank you, Jason, Terry and Tucker, Christy and Natalie, thank you very much. It's wonderful to worship God together, isn't it? It's part of why we get together. Just worshiping God together brings joy to my heart, encourages my faith, and helps me keep going. So it's just great to do that. And to have people who can sing and play like that is amazing, and it's wonderful. I can't clap and sing at the same time, so I'm glad for them that can do that. Thank you, Stan, for reading the scripture today, and it's just a joy to be back with you folks and to be able to bring God's word to you. God's word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. In keeping it, there's great reward, and it draws us closer to our Jesus. So we study the Bible here because we believe the Bible is the truth, it is the word of God, and we are going to look at it again today. Let's ask God to open our hearts. I ask you to bow your heads with me, and let's spend a little time in prayer here. And in your own heart, I ask that you would ask the Lord to speak to you through his word, and that you would open your heart to him and say to him that you're ready to hear. You're ready to hear his word, and you want to grow to be like him. Invite his Holy Spirit to work in you, to open your eyes to things that you need to grow in, to encourage you where you need encouragement. And Father, this is your church, and these are your people, and we come to you hungry for your word, and so we ask you to speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. There's these words that I don't particularly like, but that characterize me. It starts with concern, and then there's a growth pattern in it. There's concern, and then there's worry. Have you heard of these words? Then you can go up a notch and take it to anxiety. And then you can go up a notch and take it to fear. And then you can take it up to terror. So these five words are words that all of us are familiar with. I don't know if you're familiar with terror, but I'm familiar with terror. I've had terrible dreams and woken up in a sweat. I've been encounters in overseas that have scared the willies out of me. And but concern is, you know, concern is something that we all have. And worry, we encounter worry, and people define worry as being something that you can deal with possibly. If you go to anxiety, it can become a problem for you and keep you up at night when you're overly concerned about something that you really can't deal with or change, and fear and so forth. But God came to alleviate us from these kind of things like anxiety and fear. I don't enjoy fear. Fear drives me more than I would like to admit. And anxiety is a pain in the neck. It keeps me up at night. And I have these things. I fight these things. Do any of you fight these things? I know you do. You're human. So here we are in a world that's very dangerous, wars and so forth, and we are asked to live with the Lord. And I'd like us to look at how he tells us to do that here. There's three pictures I want you to look at, three photos. The first one is this. It says, therefore we will not fear, in verse 2, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. We're talking about natural disaster here. Disaster in the creation realm. I don't know if you have earthquakes in Kansas. I don't think I've ever encountered an earthquake in Kansas. But I've been in California and Pasadena in an apartment building on the first floor when an earthquake hit, and I thought the whole building was going to come down on me. It's terrifying when the earth shakes. And this is a description of the mountains falling into the heart of the sea. This is a big earthquake. This is something that shakes you up terribly. It's so bad that the waters are roaring and foaming and crashing into the mountains. It's creation at its worst. Creation in chaos. that puts the fear in us. There's another picture here, and you can read it in verse 6. It says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. Nations are in uproar. Do we see that today? My goodness, we see it everywhere. There's a war in Ukraine. There's a war in Israel and Gaza. There's a war in Yemen. There's wars taking place in Africa, all kinds of skirmishes in Africa where people are getting killed. The nations are in uproar. That's disturbing to me. I don't know about you. There are Christians today, young married Christians, who don't want to have children because they don't want to bring them into this world of pain, suffering, and chaos. And I'm saying bring the children on because you can train them to help fight the chaos, to be lights in a dark world. Don't use that as an excuse not to bring, to have children. We're not to be ruled by fear. God doesn't want us ruled by fear, but everything in this world tends to push us towards anxiety and fear. And so, there's something interesting here. It's the third picture I want you to look at. The third picture is verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. In the midst of the chaos in creation, chaos in the nations, a political chaos, we have this picture of a calm river flowing and bringing life and joy. It's a metaphor. It's just a picture. But what's the real reason for the river of life, for the river of joy? How can you have joy and peace in the midst of this chaos? Right in the midst of the chaos all around us, there's this picture of peace. And what's the secret there? The presence of God. The presence of God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. God's presence is the solution for anxiety and fear. God's presence in this city. In the Old Testament, that meant Jerusalem, because that's where the temple was, where the tabernacle was brought, and where Jesus, where God dwelt in his Shekinah glory, he was there in the temple. But today, people, this God of the Old Testament dwells within each one of us personally. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Trinity dwells in you through the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you today. He is with you. So the river of peace can flow through your heart and mine. I'd like to point out just a few things here. First of all, if you look in verse 8, it says, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. What the psalmist is saying to us is that God is owning responsibility for these things. These desolations, earthquakes, nothing happens apart from God. Tsunamis based in Indonesia and killing 250,000 people around the world, God's in charge of that. The wars that are going on, God reigns over that. These are the desolations that happens, but God is reigning over that, and God is actually redeeming some of this. You know about the war in Ukraine. Well, I lived in Ukraine. It's one of the most corrupt nations in Europe. The European Union will not allow Ukraine to join the European Union because of its corruption. They said, straighten out your corruption, and we'll let you join us. Ukraine persisted in its corruption. In Jordan, where we work and where I've been numerous times this last year, the doctors that you don't go to, and you want to ask the doctor where he got his education, because if he got his education up in Ukraine, you know he bribed his way through medical school and he's incompetent. And my workers in Jordan tell me, if you go to a doctor and he says he got his training in Ukraine, leave as soon as possible. So doctors getting trained and not through corruption, not getting trained, are killing people in Jordan. God hates this corruption. So I look at the Ukrainian war, maybe the war more differently than you do. Now, Russia's just as corrupt. And guess what? The United States isn't far behind. And when God judges a country, the righteous die with the wicked. So the church needs to rise up and do something about our own country, but while we try to reach the nations also. But God owns responsibility for the desolation on this. Verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. It also says in verse 9 that he makes war cease. He's not just in charge of the wars, he also brings peace. And so we pray to him for peace. We pray for peace in the Ukraine. We pray for peace in Gaza and Israel. We pray for peace. So God is in charge of that. He breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, he burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I'm God. So God reigns over all of these affairs, whether they're wars or peace. God's in charge. The other thing I'd like to point out to you is that we are in this chaos. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way. Where's the earth giving way? It's giving way around us, around his people. You and me are there with the earth giving way around us. He doesn't say he's taking us out of the situation. That'd be nice. I'd like to be airlifted out of an earthquake. He doesn't say we're taken out of the nations being in uproar. We're right there in the midst of it. And that's where he wants us to find peace. So, do you and I have peace in our hearts? Does peace reign in our hearts? Or does fear and anxiety reign in our hearts? And then if so, how do we find peace? Well, I'll tell you what. I like to try everything within my power to control my environment so that I have peace. I want my bank account in good stead. I want to be able to pay on my mortgage. I want to keep my body healthy, and I want to go get my colonoscopy. Not very badly, I want to. But I want to, because they told me every 5 years now, you know, prevent cancer. I want to be in control of everything I can. And you know what? My wife told me, she said, honey, you're too controlling. I'm telling her which lane to get into when we're driving. You know, I get it. I'm too controlling. Well, I start to talk to a counselor. And the counselor says, well, Brent, where did you grow up? And I said, well, in Indonesia, and I went to boarding school. She said, how old were you when you got sent to boarding school? I said, well, I was 7 years old. Anybody 7 years old here? There's a couple little duffers over here. They're not seven yet, though. There's one. Okay. 7 years old, that's a little guy. And because my parents worked in a cannibalistic tribe and a headhunting tribe, and it was a really rough circumstances, and we didn't have education, they sent me to boarding school where I would be acculturated in an English-speaking American culture, and it tore my parents apart, but they sent me there. When a 7 years old goes to boarding school and tries to make it at boarding school, he doesn't have parents to go to when he's in trouble, does he? He doesn't have someone to kiss him goodnight or to hug him in the morning and to welcome him home from school, right? He's alone. So this 7-year-old boy, after crying myself to sleep for 2 weeks, launched into life in boarding school. And I learned how to survive. I learned that I needed to watch people's faces and be careful when people were getting angry to get out of there lest I get in trouble because I had no one to go to for help. And so I also learned to try to control everything I possibly could, looking ahead always to make sure everything was in order so that I could preserve myself. And my counselor said to me, Brent, you didn't have a biblical perspective on how to take care of fear and danger. So you sought to do the best you could with what you had. And you learned to survive at boarding school. And I would get angry. And I would fight to get to the top of the pile because I was not going to be defeated. I was going to stay on top of things at all cost at boarding school to the best of my ability. And so that carries on through my life. And guess what? Into my marriage. And it starts to mess up my marriage. And my wife says, Brent, you're too controlling. And so I begin to look at myself and say, why am I doing this? And this passage says to me, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Come aside and look at your heart. Look into your life. Look at your God. Be still. And the Hebrew word is actually put it down. Release it. Be still. Put down whatever you're doing to try to control your atmosphere. Be still. Because I tried to work on my controlling spirit, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't beat it. And God knocks out all the props until we have nothing left to stand on. And he says, be still and know that I am God. Brent, you can't do it, but I can. You can't control your environment, but I can. And I realized that at the core of my control, and my desire to control, was that I was not really believing that God was loving and good. My God was a God who had a whip in his hand to whack me every time I messed up. To the point where if I stubbed my toe, I'd wondered, well, what did I do wrong? And God had to open my eyes to the fact that I was not seeing him as a loving and gracious God. And when you have a God that's good, and you know that he loves you, you know that he's got those things that you can't control. And you may be in a place right now where God's knocked all the props out from under you. All your ability to keep the farm going well, all your abilities and all your strategies have been taken aside, and you don't know what you're going to do. God, help me. This is beyond me. I can't do this. And that's right where God wants Brent Preston. He wants me at the place where I'm not relying on any other thing, but I'm relying on him. I'm trusting in him, and I'm down to only him. And when I look at him, I need to see him correctly because he is good, and he is loving, and he is powerful. The word here, the Lord Almighty, is Yahweh Sabaoth, is the way it has been transliterated, but it means the Lord of armies, a warrior God, a God of strength. The Lord of armies is with us. And that's what's emphasized here. Jesus said, I could call to 12 legions of angels to come and deliver me right now if I wanted to. All that power that God has is at our disposal because we are his children and he lives within us. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress and he's with us. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present help in trouble. Present now in trouble for you and for me. Ever-present. I don't care what your problem is. God is present and able to help you. And he wants you to rely on him, not on all your strategies to get out of debt, not on all your strategies to fix your marriage, Not on all your strategies to deliver yourself. He wants you dependent only on him. He wants you to put it down and to be still before the Almighty. And in his presence, you will find peace. So you know what I'm doing? Every day, I'm getting up in the morning, and I'm taking time to be still before God. To remind myself of four things. I need this. I'm not preaching at you guys. I need this. If you need it, great. But I need it. And I say to myself, Brent, number one, God is present. Thank you, Lord, for being present. You dwell in me right now today. On that tractor, gentlemen, he's present. In the feed truck, he's present. When you fly that crop duster, John, he's present. You need him there, boy. He's present everywhere, with us, always. In the midst of our trouble, he's present. And I remind myself, dear God, I know you're present. Secondly, that he loves me. He loves me deeply. He loves you deeply. I had my counselor ask me, Brent, how do you think God views you today? And I said, I was just honest. I said, disappointed. He's disappointed in me. Have you ever felt like God is disappointed in you? Have you ever tried to be friends with somebody who's always disappointed in you? How does that work? Does that go well? Not for me. And here I am feeling like God is disappointed in me. He says, why do you feel that? And I said, well, I sin against the Lord in thought, word, and deed, and attitude. I mess up daily. An unkind word here, a prideful word there. I'm guilty before God. I must be grieving him all the time. And so I was asked, so is that the way you deal with your boys? Your children, are you constantly disappointed in them even though they mess up? Of course not. You love your boys. You delight in your daughter. You're thrilled with them, and you're behind them, loving them throughout everything as they grow, because you know they're growing, you know they're not perfect, and your heart, the heart of a father, reaches out to your children in deep, deep love. How is God not the best father in the world? So Brent, he's not disappointed in you. He loves you. He's delighting in you. And I say that to myself every morning. And I say it to the Lord. Thank you for loving me. And then I say, the Lord is good, always good, and he'll never leave me. I say those four things to myself, and I meditate on God's goodness every morning to just get this crooked brain launching in the right direction. So, how are you doing with the whole thing of anxiety and fear? God doesn't want fear to be your ruler. He wants to be your ruler. He wants you to enter his peace. And I don't know just how you deal with fear and anxiety, but I know that Jesus' presence is your answer. But you've got to see him in the right perspective and understand him, that he's the Almighty One who is able to help you. That he is loving and good and wants to help you. And that he knows what's best for you, all wise. And you can come to this God and put your burden down. And let him minister to your soul. So let's do that this morning. Let's bow our heads and let's take time to be still. To be still. And I invite you to welcome the Spirit of God, to welcome his presence. and just to say to him, Holy Spirit of God, you are welcome here. You are welcome in my life. And then I invite you to thank him for his love and his goodness and that he loves you. And thank him for his presence and for his power. And then invite him into your fight. You're fighting with anxiety. You're fighting with fear. I'm not sure what you're fighting with, but invite him into your fight. Say, God, this is beyond me. I need you to step in today. Please step into my life and help me to will and to do your good pleasure. Help me, Lord. I can't overcome it. And thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.